And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it's Dave DeFore. Join me and my buddies Seth Partnow and Mo Dakhil every Friday right here on the Athletic NBA Show for Nerder She Wrote, a podcast that attempts to look at the cutting edge of the NBA and the sport of basketball. Whether it's sports science, a deep dive on X's and O's, tales from the video room, or the next big thing in analytics, you can find it all every single Friday on Nerder She Wrote right here on the Athletic NBA Show.
Join us this Saturday for an all-new episode of The Athletic NBA Show, Saturday Slam and Jam, hosted by me, Andrew Schlecht. I'll be joined by my co-hosts Alex Spears and many of the Athletic beat writers that you know and love. We will recap the week of the NBA, play some NBA trivia, and just overall talk about the league that we love most. So while you're flipping your flapjacks, tending to your yard, or just sipping your coffee on Saturday morning, listen to Saturday Slam and Jam on the Athletic NBA Show.
Want an easy way to stay up to date with the latest news and trends in the NBA? Listen to the NBA Daily Ding podcast Monday through Friday. Wake up and turn up the NBA Daily Ding to stay informed on all things NBA here at The Athletic and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show Monday through Friday
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome to Point of Contention. Five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Coming up on today's show, we've got a play-in with the Lakers and the Warriors. We've got some beef with the scoring titles. We got a hierarchy in the East. It's award season. And the scoring title has never been more contentious than it is right now. I'm Zach Harper. That's Jade Hoy producing. In this corner, the Bay Area legend and author of two, count them, two books about the Warriors dynasty, the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, what the hell's going to happen with the Oakland A's?
If they keep talking that head, they can get up out of town. They can go act like they got another place to go. But the truth is, they have nowhere to go. You know what they're doing, Ethan? Mm. They are that person in a relationship who starts packing the bags and say, I'm leaving, and then stand at the door waiting for you to say something like, are you just going to let me walk out? And they start moving real slow because all they really want is for you to say, baby, please don't leave. But you know what I do to that, Ethan? You know what I do? What? I act like I'm not even paying attention. Go ahead and go about the door. You know why? Because another day, another Quelo, she'll love me in the morning.
Marcus, I once had a girlfriend who I was waiting to break up with me because I was not sure what would happen if I broke up with her, break up with me, leave the house, come running back in and say, I couldn't even make it to the car. And I said, no, you broke up with me. We're done.
That's it. You blew it. She blew it.
And in this corner, Bay Area suburban legend and author of the book, The Victory Machine, still available in paperback, Ethan Sherwood Strauss. Ethan, I got a question for you. What is Gabagool?
It's capicola. That's what it is. It's classic.
It's just a meat.
It's just a meat. It's nitrates.
What? I thought it was pasta here. Sauce. I thought gravy and gabagool were the same thing.
That makes Tony Soprano horny.
Oh, yeah.
So weird.
Look, man, I love all the East Coast dialects. I like the Jade Connecticut Gahead dialect. I love the Jersey Italian dialect. I love the mayor of Easttown Philly dialect. Bring them all to me. I enjoy it.
I love the Baltimore
it's
dialect.
Mayor, not
I've only
mayor,
heard
mayor,
yeah, mayor,
mayor,
mayor, mayor, mayor, mayor. Does it sound like I'm saying mayor? I know it's. I can't even say it right. Mayor of Easttown. Is that what it is?
It sounds like you're saying mayo, but you got that country er on the end.
Easttown, where you eat hoagies and drink cokes? Is that the place we're talking
Throw
about?
Throw your hands in the air.
it's just such a bastardization
of vowels, isn't it?
Right.
There's so many extra vowels on the East Coast. It drives me crazy.
I've got a theory before we get to the basketball. The Philly accent screws people up because it's almost like the uncanny valley. This idea that a computer generated image, if it looks too close to a person, will look really creepy and weird. You know, it's in between looking like a cartoon and looking like a person. That's the Philly accent, because often when they're talking, they sound normal and you're relaxed and you're going, okay, this is a normal person talking to me. And then it'll be, ew, it's like, whoa, what just happened? You know, when you're hearing somebody Southern, you're hearing a Southern accent. You know, when you're hearing somebody from Boston, you're hearing a Boston accent. The Philly accent just jumps out at you. It surprises you. So that's why everyone
I think Chicago and Minnesota does the same thing. I think it does. I think we can all agree California's just the right way to talk. All right, Jade, start the clock. Bingo. Speaking of California, whoa, boy, in the words of J.E. Skeets, can it be? Can this be happening? Are we about to witness a play-in game for the ages? Los Angeles Lakers are still Golden State's most likely opponent in a possible 7-8 matchup, and that will be just what the TV ratings doctor ordered. This comes at a time when the Lakers are stumbling into the playoffs and the Warriors seem to be finding their groove. To think some people were calling on this team to tank. Ethan,
Jade.
Wrote this in your most recent article. The team's relentless averageness has been a running joke. The good and the bad of the roster has, for much of the season, stayed nearly in perfect balance, at least until recently, with the good breaking out down the stretch. The question is whether this team has some untapped potential that could blossom on the big playoff stage. Ethan, do you see the Warriors snatching this hypothetical game?
Ooh, it's so hard to go that far. I would argue that they have more potential, that they are a better playoff situation team than they are a regular season team. Would I go so far as to say, oh, they're going to beat the Lakers? Man, the Lakers are a pretty tough matchup just with all their size. And then they're just the confounding variables of who the hell is healthy on that particular team. What am I expecting from LeBron when he does return? I know I should give a take. I know I should firmly say it. I will swivel away from giving a strong take and just explain a little bit why I think the Warriors can punch above their weight. It's you're going to get more Steph. You're going to get like a half a quarter more Steph Curry. For this team, that is huge. You're going to get maybe, I don't even know, half a quarter more Draymond at center. That's when the Warriors are at their most potent. And also, a lot of the Warriors' averageness has to do with playing guys who have been hurting them because they needed to, or they were pot committed. They needed to validate their decision to get Kelly Oubre, so Kelly Oubre got minutes. Now he's hurt. They needed to validate their draft pick and develop James Wiseman along the way, even though he was hurting them in the here and now. Now he's hurt. So the Warriors, with their shortened rotation, have been freed. I would say, Marcus, they are no longer average. We can pronounce them.
Wow.
Slightly above average.
Marcus, what do you think Ethan wants to answer? Since he won't answer the question, I'll just ask, you know Ethan pretty well. What does he want to say?
He wants to say they should be the three seed. That's what he wants to say, that the Warriors are going to the Western Conference Finals because Steph is going to take over. That's what he wants to say. But he's trying to shield himself from homer takes.
Well, yeah, because when we get to Bazemore versus Beal later on, I'm going to sound more like a homer. So I need to soft pedal this. We got to get there. Facts. We got to work up to it.
So, but why are we talking about this anyway? It's going to be Warriors Portland. Are we looking at these schedules here? Are we looking at what's going on? The Lakers have Houston. Hey, Zach, is Houston a good team?
I had said December 2nd that they weren't going to make the playoffs after reports that James Harden might want to be traded. And then the city of Houston seemed to question if I know anything about basketball. And I don't remember how that one ended up. I'm sure they're knocking on the door.
What about Indiana? Are they a good team?
Indiana sucks. They should not be allowed in the play-in tournament. Nobody wants to watch them anymore.
And what about New Orleans without Zion and Brandon Ingram? Are they any good?
They weren't that good with those two. So without them, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm looking at the Lakers going 3-0 to end the season, and Portland has a little bit tougher time, right? They've got Utah, they've got Phoenix, and they've got Denver. Somehow, as much as Ethan would like this ratings boost for this one-off game, I think we're gonna get the Dame Steph showdown in the play-in tournament. I think the Lakers will be spared and from play-in.
And who are you picking? Who you got? Who you got in that one?
Ooh, that's a tough one. It's Uh-oh. In Portland. Look, I'm going with the Warriors just because I've watched them beat Portland so much.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
I can't pick against
them. Portland's going to have to beat them in order for me to believe that it's possible.
I was about to say that it's a Steph versus Portland thing, but it's also a Draymond. Yeah, it's a Draymond.
That's
Portland
the
thing.
Real key. That, to me, that's the real key. They don't have Clay. Obviously, that's a factor, but this team just seems to figure out a way to beat Portland in the playoffs. And until the Blazers exercise that demon, and it's one game, so they probably could, right? Dame could go off, but it's in Portland probably, so I've seen this song and dance enough to think the Warriors will win that game.
Yeah, I that's what I would predict. Can't wait to see the line. That will be a tasty line. Want to see what the public says. I also want to say, I think they got to get a little more Jordan Poole in there. If these teams are going to six-tuple guard Steph Curry when he's coming down half court in some of these plays, they can't be in a situation they were in the 2019 finals where Steph kicks it out and then they swing it around and nobody can do anything off the dribble. I know he's very young. I know many have doubted. Zach Harper has doubted, but I do believe the young, do we call them a sophomore in the NBA? What's the term for second-year player? I suppose
only if it's a
second-year
slump.
Player.
Only if they have a slump, then it's a sophomore slump. Yeah.
Only if it's a slump. I think they got to put the untested guy in the deeper waters and maybe start giving him over 20 minutes a game. That's also what I'm saying.
I do think Portland, though, I mean, they've got a lot of weapons. They're going to be a tough out. And they're playing well right now, but I think Powell adds another dimension. Carmelo adds another dimension. Like, the Warriors are going to need Wiggins and Poole to ball out. But, man, there are some demons to be exercised by the Blazers. I can still see some of those fans' faces when they thought they were going to win and somehow they didn't. So that's some trauma there.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Portland's got a lot of veterans. They maybe have all the veterans. Take two. Where have all the veterans gone? You know what? What was that? Oh, man, I wish I could remember her name. Where have all the veterans gone?
Is that another Margaritaville thing? I don't know.
No, it's a Dawson's Creek thing, I think. I can't remember her name, though, but oh, my goodness. What a fantastic 1997 time capsule that was. It was Where Have All the Cowboys Gone, but we're putting veterans in there. But, fellas, the triple-double king. Paula Cole. Thank you, Jade. Paula Cole. Shout out to her, unless she did something to get canceled that I never saw. Fellas, the triple-double king, Russell Westbrook, became the NBA's all-time triple-double leader with 182 in his career, surpassing the great Oscar Robertson. That's bum. On Monday night, just another example of older NBA players flourishing. Chris Paul, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James. Pretty much grandpas in this league. On this week's Hoops Adjacent with David Aldridge and one Marcus Thompson, Jamal Crawford talked about the lack of veterans on many teams. Jade, play the tape.
I think vets aren't valued like they were once upon a time. Obviously, it's a younger league. You know what I mean? And it's you know, now, like, we talk about Steph at 32, like he's, you know, I hear people, he's older. Like, this is, like, in his prime. I seen Michael Jordan win MVPs at 35. You know, that was like a men's league. But now with the league so young, if you're, you know, in your 30s, you're considered a fossil.
Marcus, reflecting back to your show, do you think that NBA teams need to put a stronger emphasis on bringing more veterans back into the league?
I do, actually. They need them in the playoffs. And when you look at the postseason, the teams that win, it's not a bunch of 22-year-olds, right? There's a saying, I think it was Terry Cummings. I might be getting this wrong, but he's like, you know.
Terry Cummings.
Yeah, right? You know, basically young players can't teach young players how to play, right? Like, you need vets. And the days of Juwan Howard being on the end of the bench just to bring a veteran presence does feel like
they're gone. And I think teams like Miami, right? Like they are proof, man. You need some OGs. You need your Udonis Haslams. You need the presence in the locker room. And some of these players are still good and can be valuable. And you're watching players, teams run out 22 year olds out there and wonder why they don't win. In the end, veterans win games, and I bet you at the end of the year, when you look at the rosters of the teams that are, you know, having a say in who wins, it won't be a bunch of young players. It'll be some OGs.
I think that's right. I do fear, though, as we have this conversation, that Kevin Pelton is going to turn around and come out with one of those debunking articles that say, actually, the NBA has never been older. Never been older.
Right, right.
The average age is 35, and this whole premise that Jamal Crawford's operating under is entirely false. I don't know the degree to which the NBA has trended age-wise. I suspect it's gotten a little bit less veteran-heavy. I know people have talked about it, and I do believe in the value of veterans. I was recently watching Charles Barkley talk about how important Moses Malone was in his career, and I found it fascinating, and I look to it for inspiration now as I try to get in better shape coming out of this whole pandemic, where Barkley comes in and he's bad, he's pouty, he didn't have a very good first season. I think he was 290 pounds, and Moses Malone just basically told him, look, you're fat. This is what you got to do. Lose 10 pounds. And, you know, Barkley loses 10 pounds and he's killing it. And then Moses says, okay, lose another 10. And they just keep working together to the point where Moses has him going down to 240, getting way too skinny, and then having to come to the recognition, the realization that his playing weight is 250. And it was just so interesting to me to see the process and to see how much Moses was the guy guiding his career as opposed to any coach early on. I think that is true for a lot of players. And also, incidentally, as an aside, Charles Barkley is not only a Hall of Famer, but he is a Hall of Fame fat is potential in disguise theory. Don't know how I got there. Don't know how I digressed, but we got
there. Of course you were going to get there, though, right? Of course this was going to lead back to your grand theory.
How many players has that worked out for?
Kevin Love is also on my all fattest potential in disguise team right there.
So your answer is two? Is he named two? I asked how many, all you did was name another person.
Hey, I came back with a quick one. You got to give me that. You know, you were Glenn expecting Davis nothing. Glenn Davis didn't fulfill his potential, you know, but what I will do to pad the list, I will do the classic thing of maybe naming another guy or two and saying, and the list goes on. That's the other thing you got to do.
That's a great move. That's a veteran move right there. With the veterans, so
I mean, Andre Drummond, you know, I think has done better in his NBA career than people might have thought.
He's been a negative over the last 6 years.
Oh, come on. But he initially, I think, he was impressive out the gate. I think he fat his potential and disguised it. No, James absolutely. Harden. James Harden.
He's gotten fatter. What are you talking about?
I mean, James Harden transforms quickly. Have you noticed that, by the way? I've never seen anybody get out of shape and in shape faster.
Draymond's pretty fast too. He'll make it happen. Yeah,
Draymond can make that team because he was in such worse shape at Michigan State than he was as an NBA player. So look, I mean, you can fill out this roster, pardon the pun. I mean, it's up there. And some guys never made it, you know, some guys never fulfilled their potential, but there are some guys. There's certainly some guys. It's still a rule. I believe in it.
Well, then the wait is over for take three. Take three. This thing's getting heavy. Nets versus Sixers. Who you got over in the Eastern Conference? The buzz for the play-in tournament is there, albeit minimal. But the standings has provided us a peek at the inevitable Eastern Conference matchup between the Sixers and the Brooklyn Nets if they hold it together. Nets and Sixers are 2-1 respectively. Milwaukee is breathing down the necks of the Brooklyn Nets, but they do have that one-game deficit to make up for. Ethan, let's just cut to the chase. When these two teams finally play, who's going to win?
I'm just trying to think right now. I mean, I have no answer to your question. Fantastic. I guess I prefer the Sixers. I enjoy the nasty defense. They're more playoffy to me, but I mean, the Nets are so talented, blah, 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 blah. Who cares? I'm trying to figure out if there are fattest potential in disguise guys beyond Harden among these two teams. Is Embiid in there? Was Embiid ever out of shape and then he got in shape, you know?
I don't know if he's been in shape.
He's never been in shape.
I feel like Tobias Harris slimmed down a little bit.
I'll tell you something. I recently, a few weeks ago, so it might be different, I saw Kyrie arguing with somebody, and he just had almost no arm muscle for an NBA player. And you would say, and he just looked totally different, almost emaciated compared to what he looked like in Cleveland. But he had just scored like a billion points, so I can't even tell you it's a problem. But he looks like somebody where...
I wonder if that has to do with Ramadan.
I mean, I'm not going to touch that, but no, it was a few weeks ago. That doesn't line up temporally.
Oh, it was a few weeks ago. So. I thought you said it was a few games ago.
Yeah. But I mean, it seems like he's the all NBA can roll out of bed team. I feel,
for sure. Kyrie. Yeah, no, he's amazing. Yeah, so Marcus, president. Ethan's answer to who will win between the Sixers and Nets is Kyrie Irving doesn't have any arm muscle. What's your answer?
That is. I haven't watched either team in a little while. I've been stuck in this whole Warriors situation in the Western Conference.
You know, I really think Kyrie has the best, like, I'm older than I look facial hair in the league, right? Yeah, I like how really Kyrie, he could really come out there and look like the Uncle Drew thing is a little bit real. I like that. I like the scruffy Kyrie looks about 42 and he's still giving you buckets.
Just to recap, in the pick of Sixers versus Nets, should they make it to face each other in the playoffs? Ethan's answer is Kyrie doesn't have any arm muscle. And Marcus's answer is I like his facial hair. It's got some legit scruff, man.
It's a legit scruff.
Yeah, because look, I'll tell you.
Agreed on both counts. You know what? His arm muscle is lacking, and it's legit scruff. Agreed on both counts. But somebody pick a fucking team. No, Jade, you have an answer here?
I'm going with Philly.
Yeah, we'll go Philly. But this is.
He's going Philly. I'm going Brooklyn.
Yeah. Rabbit season, duck season. But look, this is a credit to the NBA. This is a success of the play-in tournament, I believe, because usually around this time of year, Marcus and I might be perusing the league. We have been locked into Western Conference-ville of late because of this play-in tournament. We are even more myopically focused on the Warriors situation than usual, and people might criticize that we maybe pay a little too much to the local team. It's the NBA's fault. It's Adam Silver. It's Evan Wash if LeBron James hasn't fired him. It's the play-in, man. We've abdicated our Eastern Conference duties.
Oh, real quick, I got a theory on that. Okay? Obviously, yep. LeBron was not happy with the play-in tournament. Or was he? Because you know what this does? This throws him into the whole conversation of like, look, no one's ever won the play-in tournament and then won the NBA championship. Right? So him going, I don't like this play-in tournament. All it does is add to the lore. The lore of what this potential title run could mean.
I mean, wouldn't that be the case without the play-in tournament? No 7 seed has ever won a title. No, nobody.
Right, but if they get the 6 seed, like, nah, we've seen that. No. This is more dramatic. This is more dramatic than the 7 seed.
Yeah, the extra game is definitely.
We had to play.
We're going to be the first team ever to get 17 wins for a championship.
Marcus, for all I know. They're going to purposely drop that game to the Warriors.
And then have to win.
Another game. They get two extra games. And then they got to go beat the Utah Jazz. You know? That grimy
defensive I'm for LeBron volunteering for the toughest road ever to bolster his case. I'm with that. That's kind of G. That's kind of gangster.
Do we think that's the toughest road? Because getting the 6 seed puts you against the Clippers.
Yeah.
Or would you rather play a Jazz team where Donovan Mitchell hasn't played basketball in a month before he goes into the throes of the NBA postseason?
All I've been reading is it's impossible to score on the Jazz because of Rudy Gobert. So that, I'm going to go with that being a tougher role.
Yes, unless you can dribble a basketball 30 feet away.
That is just fine. Far away.
Right, exactly.
Cannot score.
Speaking of awards, take 4. Oh, it's award season, baby. Finally. The end of the regular season is upon us, and it gives us one final shot at picking the awards. First up, MVP. Marcus, the award goes to?
Damian Lillard.
What? Ethan.
Damian Lillard. Let's go.
Ethan, Rookie of the Year goes to?
LaMelo Ball.
What? So, you know, Anthony Edwards over his last 31 games is averaging like 25 a game efficiently.
Yeah, but he didn't make, he doesn't make crazy passes on Twitter though.
No.
That's true. Yeah, LaMelo has played 45 games. Yeah, that's not a big deal. Not a big deal. It's fine. Coach of the year, Marcus.
Monty Williams.
Okay. All right. Ethan, sixth man of the year.
I'm going Thibs, by the way. Sixth man. Sixth man, I don't know. Sixth man.
I don't think Tom Thibodeau's got a great case for sixth man of the year.
I was just getting ready to say that.
Like, he's always on the floor. His feet are always on the hardwood as he's yelling at people.
I'm sitting there thinking, he never comes off the bench, though.
I saw a tweet from Jason Concepcion. Jason Concepcion said, I thought I heard my neighbor coughing, and it turns out it was Tibbs on TV.
Oh, it was great because you have so few people in the arena in that Knicks Laker game. I mean, it doesn't even sound human, some of the noises that come out of that, man. And the refs somehow perfectly, I mean, you'll just suddenly hear the play, and the ref goes, okay, timeout. They know that means timeout when those guttural noises come from Thibodeau.
I half expect him to clear his throat and a T-bone comes out. Like it's unbelievable, like how he can make those noises. It's uncanny.
Speaking of Stan Van Gundy,
did he pick a six man? By the way, he did not.
No, he said, I don't know.
I don't know if it's six man. Like, what's your six man?
Jordan Clarkson.
That's good by me. Yeah. He scores a lot. I mean, Jordan Clarkson had me wondering if the whole approach to NBA offense is wrong. And this whole sharing is caring idea of pass the ball around and everything else is just incorrect.
No, I mean, just keep shooting it.
His effective selfishness is like the structure, the known quantity that the Jazz can just build everything around. Just knowing that he's always going to shoot lets them know where to be and how to operate. And it's functional selfishness that runs counter to everything that we've been told growing up. And for that alone, Clarkson, six man.
Marcus, most improved player.
Oh man. I gotta go Julius Randle.
Yeah.
I can't believe who this dude is.
Both of you, defensive player of the year.
Ooh, should we go Homer?
Draymond Green.
Wow,
you went Homer.
Nah, I'm going. Wow. I'm going Ben Simmons.
I guess go Bear. I don't know. I don't care. I mean, it's hard. I mean, again, this is the second category. Is it wrong that I've stopped caring, Zach? Is it wrong? I mean, this is getting existential. Is it wrong? I don't want them to make bad choices, mind you. I don't want them to make bad choices because it will make the players feel bad and feel like it's all for nothing. Uh-huh. But it's just the arguments over it. Maybe I'm NBA Twittered out. I don't know. Like, where are you at?
Yeah. You can't pay attention to NBA Twitter.
Somebody should have told me that, because I've been like reading all these articles trying to come up with an actual.
I feel like I didn't do the homework. I'll
say this.
This is the greatest defensive season of all time for Rudy Gobert. I just read a piece about it.
Yeah, it's not true. Rudy is definitely.
How you Rudy just gonna dismiss this person's work like that? Like, it's like, no, it's not true. Like, come on, man.
Because I've seen better defensive seasons. That's how I know.
I hope it was a friend of ours who wrote that.
Who was it?
I don't know. I just hope it was a friend of ours.
I'll tell you what, your work's fucking wrong if it is. Whoever you are, wherever that article is posted.
Whoever you are, if you're Rob Mahoney or whoever you are, if you're Chris Herring,
it's wrong.
Crazy.
Whoever you are, it's absolutely wrong. But I will say this, Rudy Gobert is going to win the award, even though everybody would rather have Bam Adebayo because he's better on both ends of the floor. Okay, take five. Wow. Scoring title shenanigans. Shenanigans, that's what that's short for. Or something more sinister. Wizards guard, Bradley Beal. And his wife put the full court press on Kent Bazemore after he had the gall. The unmitigated gall to dismiss Beal's Sunday night performance, in which he dropped 50 points. That's 5-0, 50. The war words began when Bazemore spoke to the media about Curry standing in the season scoring race. Jade, play the tape.
It'll be scary. 49 points in 29 minutes, though. That's unreal. And we got guys hurting hamstrings trying to keep up. So, yeah, I got to do some research on that. Oh, you got me, money.
Yule didn't take kindly to Bazemore's words. Neither did his wife from CBS Sports. Quote, mere hours before tip-off of the Wizards game against the Hawks, Kamaya Beal started tweeting about Bazemore. It began with her sharing Bazemore's career statistics, which are unimpressive compared to Beal. Things seemingly cooled off when she argued that he didn't need to put others down to make his point, which is, I mean, kind of the opposite of what she just did. But okay, hey, then they got more heated when she tweeted, I'm mad we even given relevancy to someone most people don't even know was still in the league. Goodness! I need ointment for that burn!
That's very, I'm Kenny Powers, and I'm very angry, and I can't control my emotions right now.
Ethan, is this much ado about nothing, or is this some part brilliant smokescreen the powers that be have concocted for bringing Bradley Beal to the Golden State Warriors next season?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's an excellent player. There's a bit of redundancy, so he's not exactly what the Warriors need, even though if you could get him for not a whole lot, you'd want it. But I'm just more focused on this whole, the insanity of this situation. Maybe, look, it will be thought of as we're being homers on this particular thing. I will say this. I think we can all agree that Bazemore's joke was in poor taste. And we could understand if the response to it was a tweet from Bradley Beal or some comment in a press conference. But this was crazy. He was doing like an hour tweet storm along with his wife.
Ethan, Ethan, he retweeted a Complex article that was quoting his tweets.
What is going on, bro?
In case you missed him on his own timeline, here's this thing on his timeline.
What is happening? What is going on? And then he did a media tour.
The media tour afterwards was like, wow.
He's going on First Take. And then Bazemore's asked about it. He was like, yeah, I'm just going to watch Peaky Blinders and hang out with my wife. Anyway, see you guys. And it's just totally oblivious and just living his life and continuing on. It's very, very weird. That's my assessment. I'm giving it an assessment of weird. And then on top of that, Homer, no Homer, whatever. I feel like I'm not going to take the side of this person who's going to social media and saying my feelings are hurt. It's very strange. I mean, yes, you're right. Bradley Beal is a better player by far than Kent Bazemore, which is why it's strange that he's spending so much time on social media shrieking about how Kent Bazemore hurt his feelings. What are you doing? Who cares? What's going on? Why are you and your wife engaged in this? What is happening?
I mean, I don't have a problem with her like defending her guy, right? I don't have an issue with that. Yeah. If someone went after my girlfriend, I'd roast their ass for an hour. Like, that would be fine with me. But Marcus, I feel like Beal should have done the whole like, I don't know who that is.
First off, he missed the most epic troll. That's the answer. That is the answer. Of the media tour Bradley Beal did, all of his effort, grandiose effort to defame Kent Bazemore could have been accomplished in one simple, yo, who is that guy? And then that's it. And then let the followers do it. I feel like I'm with you. I don't mind the wife at all. Like, yeah, ride. Like, you know, ride for your guy.
But you don't join her.
Nah, he shouldn't have joined her. It would be like if Steph, a superstar.
If Steph during the finals would be like, yeah, you know what, Aisha, you're onto something. This is
yeah, right. It's like, you know, it was beneath Bradley Beal to participate in that. Like, he is a superstar. He is going to get a ridiculous contract. He is supposed to be playing for championships, right? Like, that's next for him. Like, getting into beast with dudes. Like, he got owned twice, essentially, by Bazemore, right? Like, Bazemore first threw the shot in the comments, which I'm with them. I don't think it's good to be commenting on players' injuries like that. So
you should never comment on an injury. That is corny as hell.
Especially like this year, right? Especially in these times. Like, this dude, for sure. Like, you know, I get why Bradley Beal was mad. Yeah. And I felt like Bazemore should have been like, my bad, flag on me. Like, I respect the veteran grind. I understand. He should have done that.
He should have done that. up until the point this whole media tour tweet storm happened, and then he and then he's could. Totally within his rights.
He couldn't do it at that point.
And then at this point, I mean, Marcus, we often say the internet has a proportionality problem. It would seem that Bradley Beal might have a proportionality problem as well. And then at that point, you're almost pot committed. And it's funny at that point when you're Bazemore to go, yep, not going to apologize.
Bazemore did to Beal what Beal should have done to him. He was just like, yo, I'm not even thinking about this dude. I'm about to go watch Peaky Blinders and kick it with my wife. Like, I don't have time for who's this guy? Zach, he hit the all-star. Possible score champ with, yo, who is this guy? Why is he so bad? He treated him like the bad rapper. Like, this is epic trolling by Baze, by the way. Epic trolling.
Yeah, I think he's in the wrong, but at the same time, it is epic trolling. Yes. I'll also say this. There is nothing wrong with going after the scoring title. Like, there's absolutely, like, if it's Dion Waiters going after the scoring title, then that's going to be a problem, right? He's not that efficient of a player. Also, not in the league right now, so that'd be real tough to see him on the court taking all these shots. But, like, Beal helps his team by scoring 50. Steph helps his team by scoring 50. There's no issue if those two guys go after the scoring title.
Well, Beal almost operated like he has a guilty conscience or something.
He did.
Like,
that's the problem, right? It did sound like he said, there's no way I'm not doing this for Steph to chase Steph. What? And then he just does 15 interviews to, like, back it up.
Nobody was reacting to Bazemore's comments going, you know, he's on to something.
No, everybody was killing Baze. It was like, man, Baze, you out of pocket. And you should not be saying, like, praising Steph should not be resulting in bringing up Bradley Beal's injury. Like, he shouldn't have said that. He should have raised his hand. But, man, also, Bradley Beal went way, way too far on the reply.
We just praised your teammate for hunting triple doubles over the last 4 years to become the all time triple double leader. Like, there's clearly we're okay with you hunting points if that's what it takes.
I mean, frankly, the pain of it all, and maybe we're doing further psychoanalysis, this is the pain of it all, and it might be why Bradley Beal has become one of the more sensitive players in terms of his own personal status. And it's that he's not really more famous than Kent Bazemore, even though he's amazing. And even though, you know, he doesn't have fame commensurate with his skill level, with his accomplishments.
Okay, I'll and go maybe with that. That's he's definitely more famous than Kent Bazemore.
He's 100% more famous than
but I will go with his fame doesn't match his ability. I'll go with that.
I mean, I would love to do market research on this. Could we just go to some random state and go door to door? Go door to door. Yeah, Bradley Beal, I will say, let's rescind that. I believe Bradley Beal is more famous than Kent Bazemore, but the idea that he would even that he would not be in the same league as these other guys who are all stars, I think is part of what's happening. And maybe that's the frustration that we are seeing. But it is funny seeing how things are taken, how people join with the better player and then sort of bully the lesser player and everything else, because I'm watching people just dump on Bazemore, show Harden crossing him up, and hear his career points and everything else like he's some sort of loser. And I just think to myself, man, you know, I remember interviewing Kent Bazemore in his tiny apartment in Emeryville when he was just trying to make the Warriors team and try to put some good summer leagues together. And he has gone on to make over $70 million in the NBA. Kent Bazemore grew up in a house with no heat, no air conditioning.
Like 50 people in his neighborhood. Like, it is like,
yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, Bradley Beal, what are you doing? You picked the wrong messaging for this guy. You just trashed a dude who made it from nothing off a summer league invite and got a low career. Like, it's just bad PR is what it is. It's bad PR. Zach, you should offer your services.
Yeah. Help him. But Kent Bazemore,
I can at least offer my trash talking services. Jesus, Beal, like learn how to do it. What are you doing?
Yeah. Like, Anthony Davis is pretty good with the trash talk recently, as an aside. But this is our assessment. We will give Kent Bazemore the Public Relations Award of the Week, not for getting himself in this mess with the uncouth comment, But fulfilling my don't apologize, double down rule to great effect.
It always ends with an Ethan rule. It always goes
it does.
Back
to, Kent Bazemore didn't apologize.
This is one of my favorites.
He didn't apologize. He didn't give in. And he's playing some of the best basketball of his life while oblivious to Bradley Beal's issues. He played it right after playing it wrong. Good recovery, but Kent Bazemore.
Well, he's never going to Baze less. And that's going to do it. For this edition of the Point of Contention of the Athletic NBA Show on the Athletic Podcast Network. Make sure you're checking out all our shows, subscribe, review, and rating 5 stars, all that good stuff. Even if we made you angry by not agreeing with your take on your favorite player, your favorite team, you should show it to us by giving us a sarcastic 5 stars. Leave a 5-star review with an insult in it. Make sure it's 5 stars. Make sure you subscribe to the Athletic to get all the great coverage of the Golden State Warriors and the rest of the NBA and the rest of sports as they run their assault on the play-in tournament and the poor souls that have to play them after. For Marcus Thompson, for Ethan Strauss, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on The Athletic.